glory to man.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After the wise men had left, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother with you, and escape into Egypt and stay there till I tell you, because Herod intends to search for the child and do away with him." So Joseph got up, and taking the child and his mother with him, left that night for Egypt, where he stayed until Herod was dead. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." Herod was furious when he realized that he'd been outwitted by the wise men. And in Bethlehem and its surrounding district, he had all male children killed who were 2 years old or under, reckoning by the date he had been careful to ask the wise men. It was then that the words spoken through the prophet Jeremiah were fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, sobbing and loudly lamenting. It was Rachel, weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they were no more. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Matthew wrote his gospel for Jewish readers, as we can tell from the readiness that he has to speak like a Jew and for the benefit of Jews, the readiness he has to quote from scripture with very little explanation, and the assumptions that he makes about what his readers will understand. And in order to give to Jesus from the beginning the highest possible profile in his story, he purposely models the account of Jesus' birth on the account of the birth of Moses, the great leader and prophet who first called the nation together and led them out of Egypt in the name of God. Moses was the one who formed the people in the desert into a nation, a unity with itself. And he was the giver of the law on Mount Sinai. He was the author of the first 5 books of the Bible in the Jewish mind, the Pentateuch or Torah, which formed the law as opposed to prophets. And as a figure in the Jewish mind, he was semi-divine. He's the only person in the Bible, apart from Jesus at the very end of St. John's Gospel, in one only place, he's the only one who bears the name of God. There is a strange account of him being called God in the Old Testament. So Matthew could not have chosen anyone to exalt Jesus more than Moses. If you think back to Moses' birth, he was born in slavery in Egypt, and the Pharaoh, who did not know Joseph, was oppressing the people, and he decreed after a while that all the male children of the Hebrews should be slaughtered and cast into the Nile, and the girls were to be saved in order to be servants and heaven knows what else. And Moses is hidden from the wrath of Pharaoh by his mother until he is too old to conceal any longer. And then she makes him his little boat, sends him out to be protected only by God, who guides him towards the daughter of Pharaoh and his destiny. And so here at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is persecuted by an evil king who decrees the death of the children, and Moses' fate is copied by Jesus as he is concealed by his parents and taken into Egypt. thus giving Matthew the opportunity to apply to him the words of Hosea. As God meditates on the Exodus and says, I called them out of Egypt. And so these holy innocents are really part of a story which Matthew is creating for the benefit of Jesus, so that he can appear as a new and greater Moses. And soon Matthew will send him on a mountain to preach the Sermon on the Mount and to give a new law which will supersede the law where you were told, thou shalt not kill, but I say to you, anyone who is angry with his brother must answer for it before the court. But whether or not these children are real and historical, and surely Herod is quite bloodthirsty enough to have engineered such a slaughter, if not in these circumstances, then in others, he slaughtered his own sons, so he would not hesitate to slaughter Galileans. The feast which we celebrate has all too concrete reality behind it. The innocent children in the story are very real in the world. They are people who have done no wrong and who are guilty of nothing, who for one expediency or another, or for none, are traduced and betrayed, abused, and put to death. And we know that in our country we are famous for doing it on the national health. I'd like to think that the Lord has a way of judging which can discern in all people that element of innocent suffering. Because the church's taking up of this story and treasuring it and meditating on it so close to Christmas points us to think that the element of innocent suffering is to be illuminated only by the incarnation itself. Jesus himself was innocent when he came into the world, and from the beginning he took on the human flesh which made him suffer. And babies suffer many times a day. They suffer as tragic heroes and heroines suffer from being human. They suffer from hunger and cold and loneliness. They suffer from fear and anxiety. They already know, and no one has heard a baby go through that moment where the floorboards of self-possession suddenly crack and the wailing turns from anger to despair. No one can doubt who has heard that, that babies experience the full weight of human pain in their small way. And I'm sure that God recognizes in all of us the capacity for grief and that bottomless anxiety which comes from the loss of his love, the loss of our security. We all know and dread those depths. And to know that Christ himself came into the world where that happens, and that he is profoundly related to those who suffer in that way, is another brilliant light on the nature of the taking flesh of God. We're told that not a sparrow falls to the ground, but your Heavenly Father knows of it, and every hair on your head has been counted. God knows the grief that we have forgotten mercifully, that we ever suffered, and it is part of his design that it should be remembered and judged and brought into the understanding of our life, which we one day will share with him when we shall know as fully as we are known. The quotation which Matthew makes from Jeremiah is perhaps one we would do well to listen to, because although the children of Bethlehem die within a short walk of Rachel's grave, Rachel the wife of Jacob called Israel, so the mother of Israel's children, yet the description which Matthew evokes is not from a tragic or devastated part of the prophet Jeremiah's work, but from chapter 31, which is the most glorious poem of the restoration of Israel. And perhaps as we call to mind today the incomprehensible puzzle of all the suffering undeserved in the world, we could listen to these words of Jeremiah, which certainly Matthew wanted us to know and to remember as we read this part of his gospel. So this is how those words are set in the Bible. Hear the word of the Lord, O you nations. Declare it in the coastlands afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed.